and welcome to the Old Time Radio Hour. I'm your host, Justine Ward, and each week we bring you a classic show from radio's golden age. This week we have a short-lived radio sitcom about a Shakespearean actor who is reduced to starring in a sappy afternoon radio show as Uncle Goodhart. Monty Woolley was famous for his starring role on Broadway and in the movie of The Man Who Came to Dinner. The Magnificent Montague gives the same acid-tongued banter with his retired co-star wife, played by Ann Seymour, and his verbal jousting partner, their Brooklyn-accented maid, Agnes. Monty Woolley was raised in high society and attended Yale University, where Cole Porter was a dear friend. Woolley went on to get master's degrees at both Yale and Harvard. You'll love Art Carney in the second episode we have today as the Magnificent Montague's father, who is also a retired Shakespearean actor with delusions of grandeur. Enjoy the Magnificent Montague, To Shave or Not to Shave, first broadcast December 1st, 1950 on NBC.
The National Broadcasting Company presents, transcribed, The Magnificent Montague, starring Monty Woolley. This is a day of decision for The Magnificent Montague. This bulwark of the Shakespearean stage, after 8 years of unemployment, has succumbed to his mortal enemy, radio. He is Uncle Goodhart, hero of an afternoon program. But now suddenly he is confronted with an opportunity for a triumphant return to the stage in Romeo and Juliet with Catherine Cornell to play Romeo, the one role he's never done. Ah, but here's the rub. To play Romeo, he would have to shed his crowning adornment, his beard. If he doesn't, it means back to Uncle Goodhart. Every hour on the hour, he's changed his mind. All night, he has paced the floor, trying to reach a momentous decision.
To shave or not to shave, that is the question.
His decision? We'll have to wait until he gets up.
Shh.
It is morning in the Montague apartment. His wife, Lily Boehm, and Agnes the maid anxiously await his arrival at the breakfast table, knowing this is the day of decision.
Coming. Take it easy, Mr. Amici. The residence of Edwin Montague and Miss Lily Boehm. Oh, hello, Max. No, the beard ain't off yet. Thanks. When he went to bed last night, it was still on.
Is that Max?
Yeah, here.
Max? Lily? No, it's still on. Oh, first rehearsal tonight, he knows. Max, you've produced enough plays with Edwin to know this isn't a once-over-lightly proposition. I know he told you he'd take it off, and he's probably shaving it off right now. Yes, I'll let you know. Agnes, do you think he did?
Shh, I'm at his door. I'm trying to listen.
You hear any scraping?
Not even a snip. Maybe he's pulling them out hair by hair.
Agnes, I'm shaking like
now
a leaf.
Keep your shirt on, honey.
But, Agnes, do you realize that in a few moments that door will open? And after all these years, we may see Montague without his beard?
I need a drink.
Wait, I hear him. Agnes, did that sound like he still had the beard?
I don't think so. I didn't hear that familiar rustle.
Oh, Agnes, the suspense is killing
me. Take it easy.
Shaking like a leaf.
Hang on, baby. I hear him coming.
I can't look.
It's 0 hour. This is it.
Good morning.
Open your eyes, honey. It's still on.
I haven't made a study of it, but there must be a more soothing way of greeting a man in the morning.
I'm sorry, Edwin. The shock.
The shock? All I did was open my door. What is this, inner sanctum?
Edwin, it's still on.
Yeah, your chin is still only a rumor.
lovely Agnes. I will always treasure that sweet expression on your face. like you'd just been fouled by Rocky Graziano.
Edwin, you promised Max Garland you'd shave it off.
It. It is a beard. Stop referring to it as something scribbled on a wall.
You're sweet.
Down, Agnes, down, before I throw a stick out the window and ask you to retrieve it.
Edwin, your first rehearsal is tonight. You'll have to take it off.
It is staying on. It is not coming off.
Edwin, I thought it was settled. You can't play Romeo with a beard.
No? Lily, I spent half the night poring over every reference to Romeo and Juliet, and at no point does Shakespeare say that Romeo does not have a beard.
Keep looking. You'll find Juliet wears a Van Dyke.
Where does she pick up those scintillating remarks? The pool room doesn't open till noon.
Edwin, stop being ridiculous. You know Catherine Cornell will not be Juliet to a bearded Romeo.
Oh, she won't, eh? She will after I get through talking to her.
Oh, now, Evan, don't do anything rash.
Rash? Because Catherine Cornell says, off with it. Little Kit Cornell, who was a walk-on while I was starring in Macbeth. Give me that phone.
Edwin.
It's time we definitely settle just who says what in this production. Hello, Kit. Edwin. Yes, I'm quite thrilled about it, too. It's going to be grand. Oh, thank you, Kit. But why won't I be great playing opposite you? Oh, yes. Oh, I've always admired you, too.
Kitschy, kitschy, cool.
Excuse me, Kit. Lily, would you put something in Agnes's mouth? I believe the sofa will just fit. Kit. Oh, yes, Edwin again. Kit, dear. Max mentioned something you said about not wanting Romeo to have a beard. Huh? Oh. Oh, yes, of course, I understand. But I just hadn't looked at it from your side. Of course, I see your point. I just hadn't thought of that. Oh, it's perfectly clear. Goodbye, Kit.
Well, Edwin?
I didn't realize there was so much kissing in the play.
You'd better run right down to the barber.
Yes, thank you, Lily.
Don't worry, it'll come out all right.
I hope so.
Good luck, Mr. Montague.
Thank you, Agnes.
Goodbye, Edwin.
Goodbye, Lily.
I know, honey.
It's the end of an era. Edwin!
Lily, I can't do it. I can't do it.
He went chicken.
Lily, I won't do it. Don't look at me that way.
This means no Romeo and Juliet.
I don't care.
Oh, that's just fine. After I convinced Max you'd play the part.
Lily, anything but that. Ask me to cut my throat from ear to ear.
No, Edwin.
Do you mind if I ask him to?
All right, Edwin. Have it your way. You just stay Uncle Goodheart on your little radio program.
It's not a little program. I have 10 million listeners.
Edwin, you disgust me.
Me too.
Quiet! At least for Uncle Goodheart, they don't ask me to disfigure myself.
I'll get the door.
I'll call Max and tell him to look for another Romeo.
It's a Mr. Zinser, your radio director.
Zinser, come in.
Hello, Mr. Montague. I just thought I'd drop off the script for tomorrow's Uncle Goodheart program. Here it is. Well, I'll be going.
Don't rush off, Zinser.
Well, I...
Sit down for a while. Zinser, today I need a friend.
But, Mr. Montague, I thought...
Oh, now, Zinser, I know we had words at rehearsal yesterday.
You struck me.
Think nothing of it. Zinser, I must get closer to you people in radio. You're all I have left.
Gee, Mr. Montague.
Well, Zinser, how does the script look?
Oh, it's a peacherino.
Good, eh? Tell me about it.
Well, in yesterday's episode where you fixed that little canary's wing, it went so well that we're following it with a dog.
Yes?
Yeah. This Airedale comes...
An Airedale?
Yeah.
Go on.
This Airedale comes limping up to your little cottage on the sunny side of the lane with a sliver in his paw.
Yes.
You take the sliver out, and in gratitude, this old Airedale starts licking your feet and your face.
Yes.
No sound effects for this scene, Mr. Montague. We're pulling no punches. We're having an actual Airedale work with you. Mr. Montague, did you want something?
No, Mr. Zinser. I'm just reaching for this poker.
Oh.
I'm about to bring it down in your paper-thin eggshell head, hoping by some stroke of luck it'll come in contact with your peanut brain.
Mr. Montague...
Get out and take that script with you.
Don't strike me.
And I was going to give up Romeo and Juliet for that. Get out.
Edwin, what happened?
The beard comes off. I'm going to do Romeo.
Edwin!
Viva la Montague.
I must have been mad. It took an Airedale licking at my feet to bring me to my senses. Off with the beard.
Oh, Edwin, you'll never regret it.
I'll be your Uncle Goodheart in the afternoon, but at night I shall cleanse my soul as Romeo.
Here's your coat, Edwin. Hurry to the barber.
I'll go to Angelo, my barber at the Presidium Club. He shall have the honor.
It'll make you look 20 years younger.
It will. Lily, the most wonderful thing just struck me.
A what?
Lily, for the first time in 30 years, I'll be able to walk on the street at Christmas without those little brats pulling at my coat, yelling, "Santa, bring me a sled."
We'll be back with The Magnificent Montague in just a moment. There's Mystery on Saturday evening on NBC. Tomorrow, Herbert Marshall stars as the man called X, a man without a name who travels the world over protecting his country's interests. He's the man called X. Tomorrow, over most of these NBC stations. For top Sunday listening, it's another broadcast of The Big Show. Tallulah will be your hostess again, presiding over an hour and a half of the very best in comedy, music, and drama with a collection of the greatest stars of stage, screen, and radio. Yes, the chimes are your invitation this Sunday and every Sunday to The Big Show. And now back to the Magnificent Montague. His decision has been made. His beard will come off. He enters the barbershop of the Proscenium Club. Angelo is waiting.
Ah, Mr. Montague.
Hello, Angelo.
I'm all ready for you. Sit right down here.
Thank you, Angelo.
The usual trim, Mr. Montague.
Angelo, take it all off.
You're so funny today. You make jokes. I'll just trim a little bit of...
Angelo, I said take it all off. Remove it.
Everybody says Mr. Montague is a great act of tragedy, but today you are a comedian. The usual trim, eh?
Angelo, you don't seem to grasp this honor I'm bestowing on you. You and your shears have been selected to cut off the Montague beard.
Maybe. Mr. Montague, did the beard to come off? You are serious?
I assure you that I am not doing it for a laugh. Off with it. Hurry up.
No. 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 I won't do it.
Angelo, stop this nonsense and do as you're told.
Mr. Montague, don't ask me. Please.
Take it off.
Mr. Montague, when I took my father's place here when he retired, he said to me, my father said, Angelo, when a sculptor retires, he leaves standing beautiful statues. A composer leaves beautiful music it should live on after him. I, Angelo, he said, I'm just a poor barber. But I leave just one work of beauty to be remembered by. Signor Montague's beard.
That's very touching. And now that we're through with the sentimental slush for the day, take off the beard.
It is not a beard. It is my family shrine.
Angelo, your scissors.
No, no, Mr. Montague. I grew up with your beard. I trimmed it. I cared for it like it was my own little garden.
Angelo, enough of your yap-yapping. Start snip-snipping.
Mr. Montague, don't ask me to. I remember I used to sit way up in the balcony and watch you make those wonderful speeches. Julius Caesar, Hamlet. And as the beard bobbed up and down, I felt I was on that stage. And when the curtain came down, I, Angelo Cherubi, also took a bow.
Yeah, it is most fortunate for you that I never caught you at it. Now, Angelo, it's a little early in the day for melodrama. I'm telling you to cut off my beard.
No, it is not your beard. It does not belong to you.
It doesn't?
No, it belongs to my father. It belongs to the people. The people in whose memory the great Montague shall always live. It is not for you to say, cut it off. It is not your beard.
Must I carry around a bill of sale? Angelo, will you...
No.
You had your chance. I will go to Harry's Broadway barbershop where sentimentality and shaving do not mix.
Next.
Hello, Harry.
Hello, Mr. Montague. Sit right down. You're next.
Thanks, Harry.
The usual trim, huh?
Not this time, Harry. I want the whole thing shaved off.
Hey, that's a good one. You know, you're getting to be like those comics with the bald heads who come in here and say, part it in the middle. The usual trim.
Harry, please. I don't want any trouble. Just take it all off.
The beard?
Yes.
You serious?
Yes, I want it off. Get going. Well, Harry?
I'm sorry, Mr. Montague. I can't do it.
What's going on here? What must I do in order to get a shave? Bring a note from my mother?
Mr. Montague, believe me, if I could see my way to do it.
Harry, what can my beard mean to you? You've never seen me in Shakespeare. It means nothing to you. Cut it off.
Sorry. Mr. Montague, if I cut your beard off, I'm out of business in 2 weeks.
Out of business?
Look at it from my side. My biggest customers are guys with beards. Jose Ferrer, the actor. Rex Stout, the writer. Al Hirschfeld, the artist. Why do they come to me for trims? They trust me.
So how...
Listen. So I cut off your beard. Right away, it's all over Broadway. Harry the Barber cut off Montague's beard. So the next time I see my customers with affidavits on bended knee, can I convince them it wasn't an accident?
I will make a public statement, notarized, that I asked you to do it.
It ain't enough. Will my customers with the beards ever come in again and say, just the trim, Harry, and then lay back and close their eyes and go to sleep? No. They'll keep one eye open. They don't trust me no more. In their minds, it'll always be, he did it to Montague, he'll do it to me.
Harry, for heaven's sake, there must be a barber on Broadway who isn't psychopathic about my beard. There must be.
Let me know how you come out. Next.
Hello, Walter.
What do you want?
Come now, Walter. It's been a long time since I've been in your barbershop. About 10 years.
11 years next month.
Well, Walter, I'm in a hurry. Just take the beard off.
Oh, no, you don't.
Now, look, Walter.
So you want me to take the whole beard off, eh?
Walter.
11 years ago you were in here. See, I still got the scar on my forehead. That was just for trimming off a little too much.
Walter, let bygones be bygones.
Not me. I'm not the kind of individual who likes to live dangerously. Not a chance. Next.
I remember when barbers used to drool when I went by. I'll find a barber who doesn't know me if I have to comb the city.
Hello,
Stop here, driver. There's a barber shop.
Look, Mr. Montague, this is a pretty crummy neighborhood.
Good. Wait for me, driver. If either of you two barbers will be so kind.
Be with you in a second, chum. I knock with five.
I got three on a cut.
Brother, I'm on a schneid.
Gentlemen.
I'm coming, Buster.
Wait, look at the time.
Oh, be with you in a second, bud. Turn it on.
The results of the sixth race at Pimlico, off at 4:06. The winner, Little Caprice, 8:60 to win, 6 even a place, 2:40 to show.
I wished I was dead.
Gentlemen, now that your cultural period is over, will you take care of me?
Okay, mister, have a chair.
Thank you.
What'll it be?
Do you mind if I ask you a few questions first?
Questions?
We're just making sure. First, do you know anything about William Shakespeare?
Don't hang around here.
Fine. And now, have you ever seen me before?
You?
Yes.
Yeah.
Does the name Edwin Montague mean anything to you?
Yeah.
Good, good. And when I leave, I'll be just another face to you. You'll never remember me.
No, I guess not.
Splendid. Tell me, have you cut off beards before?
Beards? Sure, hundreds of.
Excellent. In other words, you'll cut off my beard and not ask any questions. You'll just forget about it.
Yeah, I guess so.
My good man. Cut off my beard.
Excuse me, I gotta ask my partner something.
Hurry up, I have a cab waiting.
Mike. What's up, Louie?
I don't like this. I don't like the whole thing.
What?
This guy walks in, starts with the questions. He don't want me to know him. I should cut off his beard. He don't want me to remember him. He got a cab waiting outside.
You think he's hot?
Like a pastrami.
Don't touch that beard.
You telling me a guy on the lam wants to change his looks? Not me.
Look what they give that plastic surgeon who changed Dillinger's face.
I told you I was in a hurry.
What'll I do?
Keep talking to him. I'll go in the back and phone for the cops.
Okay, coming, mister.
I shave it off.
Yeah, sure. Off it goes. Gotta strop my razor. Nice day, if it don't rain.
Oh, no. A tonsorial Milton Berle.
Say, that was something, huh? Branch Rickey leaving the Dodgers?
Who leaving what?
Yeah.
Look, hurry it up.
Sure. Hey, you know who once come in here for a shave?
Who?
Strangler Lewis.
No.
Yeah, honest. Strangler Lewis. I was as close to him as I am to you.
What a golden opportunity he missed. Do you stop sharpening the razor and start?
This the guy?
Yeah, officer.
He's the one.
Are you dead-end characters referring to me?
Okay, Whiskers, on your feet.
Let me warn you, you flat-footed boob. If you lay one clammy hand on me, you will be the center of a police investigation that will make the last one look like a quilting bee.
Look, mister, I'm just trying to do my duty.
Is there so little crime in this city that your duty is now restricted to peeping under hot towels in barber shops?
Please, mister, I got a complaint on a suspicious character. If you'll just tell me who you are, that's all I want.
You didn't recognize me?
No, sir. Who are you?
Dave the Dip, wanted in Frisco for the Flugelman snatch.
If you just give me your right name, that's all.
I'm Edwin Montague, alias the Magnificent Montague.
Wait a minute. Your voice. I recognize it. You're Uncle Goodhart. Gosh, wait till I tell the missus. Uncle Goodhart.
Now may I go about the business of being shaved?
But, officer, shut up. If I hear any more complaints that you guys have been operating a horse room in back, I'll throw the book at you. Bye, Uncle.
And now, gentlemen, shall we commence with the disposal of my beard?
Look, mister, just go away.
Now, look here.
We're closed for alterations.
Alterations?
Hurry up, Mike. We got to get the horse board and the phones out of the back room.
Louie, we come back too soon. I told you the heat was still on.
Where are you going? Come back here.
Shave yourself.
Shave myself. It's the only way. Where's the drugstore?
Yes, sir. And what can I do for you, sir?
I wish to buy a razor.
Yes, sir. Would you like the shake injector? Push-pull, click-click. The Gillette Look Sharp, Be Sharp. Jim, Pasana, Shave Master. We have a combination deal, razor and aqua velvet lotion. Join the aftershave club, you know.
My dear young man, gaze upon me. Do I look like a man who could be a prominent member of the aftershave club?
Sir, you look like a modern man. How about...
Now, listen, you. I just want a razor. No push-click. I don't want to look sharp. Just shave.
Yes, sir. I'll get one.
Every American man has to go through what I'm going through just to get shaved. I predict a triumphant return of the beard.
That must be him.
Agnes, I wonder how he looks.
Steady, honey.
I can't look.
I'm shaking myself. Well, here goes.
Oh!
The muff is still there and it's mellow.
What is this? You sound like the Duncan sisters making a comeback in Dracula.
Edwin, it's still on.
Yes, but you are gazing at its last moments. I am taking it off myself.
But, Edwin, do you still remember how to shave?
Well, I have a book of instructions. I am fully equipped. I have my own push-pull, clack-clack. I am the proud owner of the special gift offer handy dispenser with the sharpest edges ever honed. I'm tingling in anticipation of that aqua velvet aftershave glow. And I'm undecided whether to be a handsome knave with Burma shave or on the beam with palm olive cream.
He's loaded.
Edwin, why don't you just run down to a barber?
Barbers? Barbers? You're speaking of a contemptible tribe of yellow-livered cowards who should be impaled on a spit and broiled under their own sun lamps.
Edwin, you've had no experience with razors.
Nonsense. This operation should be performed by my own two hands.
Dr. Montague wanted a surgery.
Really, Lily, wouldn't it be patriotic if we released Agnes for active duty?
Edwin, your Romeo and Juliet rehearsal. You'd better take it off.
Well, it's off to the washbowl. And when I come through this door again, it'll be without my beard. Lily, you will behold a new, young, dashing Montague.
Agnes, Montague without his beard. What'll he look like? Can you visualize it?
I don't know. All I can see is the end of a plucked chicken.
Oh, Agnes, this is torture. Oh, last night I couldn't sleep because of this one horrible thought.
What is it, honey?
Agnes, do you think Edwin has a chin?
He must have something to rest that nasty tongue of his on.
Agnes, please. It's off by now. Oh, the telephone. Who could that be?
Probably the first bid from a mattress company.
Hello? Max? Yes, Max. It's off. What? What? Romeo and Juliet's been called off.
I don't know about you, but I'm grabbing the first freight out of town.
Agnes, we must stop him.
Success! Success!
Success, it's too late. Here he comes.
Success!
Success?
Yes, I finally got the top off the shaving cream.
Oh. Hallelujah, it's still on.
Oh, Edwin, you're still you.
Lily, stop talking like a song title.
Edwin, you don't have to do it. Romeo and Juliet has been called off.
Called off? Called off?
Max couldn't get a theater.
That incompetent excuse of a theatrical peruser.
Oh, Edwin, Edwin.
But Lily, it would have made me so much younger.
No, Edwin, it's better this way. I still have you and it.
I still have it. Yes, Lily, it's better this way. The immortal Shakespeare said all there was to say on the subject.
Shakespeare?
Act 2, scene 1, in Much Ado About Nothing. He that hath a beard is more than a youth, and he that hath no beard is less than a man.
Join us again next Friday, same time, same station, for another transcribed adventure in the life of the magnificent Montague, starring Monty Woolley. Created and directed by Nat Hiken and written by Nat Hiken and Billy Friedberg. Lily Boehm was played by Ann Seymour. Agnes was played by Pert Kelton. Also included in tonight's cast were Johnny Gibson, Jackson Beck, Danny Ocko, Bob Sweeney, and Santos Ortega. This is Don Pardo speaking. Now join the fun at Duffy's Tavern on NBC.
You are listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web with your host, Justine Ward. This show was pre-recorded for broadcast on Saturday night, and recorded commercials starred Bing Crosby and Bob Hope. Next, the magnificent Montague tries his hand at musical comedy by auditioning for South Pacific. His father was played by Art Carney, who was later known for his television role on The Honeymooners. This is the magnificent Montague, South Pacific auditions, first broadcast May 4th, 1951 on NBC.
Magnificent Montague, starring Monty Woolley. Yes, it's the Magnificent Montague, the Saturday night transcribed feature on NBC's All-Star Festival of Comedy, Music, Mystery, and Drama. Brought to you by Chesterfield, the cigarette that has for you what every smoker wants. Mildness plus no unpleasant aftertaste. The cigarette that brings you Bing Crosby and Bob Hope. By the makers of Anacin for fast relief from the pain of headache, neuritis, and neuralgia. And by RCA Victor, world leader in radio, first in recorded music, first in television. Before we hear from the magnificent Montague, let's hear from two fellows who have something in common.
Bob, do you realize we only have one thing in common?
Hardly enough for a happy marriage, is it? What's that, Bing?
Chesterfields, of course. We both like them, we both sell them.
And we'd better get to selling them now. You know, folks, better tasting Chesterfield is the only cigarette that combines for you mildness with no unpleasant aftertaste.
How do you know they're mild? Well, you just make our mildness test. You buy them, open them up, and enjoy that milder aroma. Then smoke a Chesterfield. You'll know it's milder because it smokes milder.
And Chesterfield leaves no unpleasant aftertaste. That fact has been confirmed by the country's first and only cigarette taste panel. So, always buy Chesterfield.
Let's sum it up musically.
Buy Chesterfield, Chesterfield, the one that proves its case. Yes, Chesterfield's a milder, milder, plus no aftertaste.
Oh, ho, open the pack and give them a sniff.
Then you'll smoke them.
When Edwin the Magnificent Montague left the Shakespearean stage to become Uncle Goodhart, star of an afternoon radio program, he felt his downfall was complete. But today, with a radio salary check coming in regularly, good food on the table, his thoughts of ever returning to his beloved stage grow dimmer and dimmer. It is breakfast time in the Montague apartment. Lily, Edwin's wife and former leading lady, is setting the table. And Agnes, the Montague maid, is in the kitchen preparing the master's morning meal. Something is burning.
What's that? Agnes!
What is it, honey?
Agnes, is something burning?
I hear you.
I asked, is something burning?
What is it, honey? I couldn't hear you. I'm in the middle of cooking the magnificent monster's breakfast.
Is something burning?
Naturally, I said I was cooking his breakfast.
Oh, is his toast ready?
Almost. It's on the floor. All I have to do is stand out the plumber.
Agnes, I wish you'd pay a little more attention to Edwin's breakfast. It's his first meal.
For 25 years, I've been trying to make it his last.
Oh, now, really, Agnes. Uh-oh, Edwin's coming.
Now comes the throat warming up. Thank you, Mario Lanza.
Good morning, there. Something's burning.
But just a toast.
Oh, for a moment, I thought Agnes got her head caught in the oven.
If it happened to you, you could always grow another head.
I would like to grow another foot, and I know just where I would put it.
Oh, please, can't we have one morning without these arguments? Now bring in Edwin's breakfast.
Okay. Wait till I put on my rubber gloves.
Lily, Agnes looks a little run down. Why don't you take her down to a filling station for a spring checkup?
Now, Edwin.
Oh, nothing serious. Just have her oil changed and put some air in her head.
Stop. Read the newspaper. Here's the drama section.
Drama section? What possibly could be happening in the theater now that I'm not in it? Give me the radio section. There might be something about my Uncle Goodhart program.
Here. After what the theater meant to us, how you could lose interest in it.
Lily, the theater is dead. It is now nothing but a hobby for television actors.
Right, Edwin. Read your radio section. I'll leave the drama page. Edwin, listen. Something about Max Garland, who used to produce all your Shakespearean plays.
Well, the great impresario. What is Max the moron up to now?
Listen, it says Max Garland, one of Broadway's most beloved producers.
Beloved? That's a newspaper word for no talent.
Has just been made casting director for Rodgers and Hammerstein.
Well, they've seen their last hit.
Oh, I'm so glad for Max. Listen to this. Garland is already at work choosing actors for the touring company of Rodgers and Hammerstein's great musical South Pacific.
They're letting Max Garland pick a road company, eh? When he gets through, Rodgers and Hammerstein will have to hit the road. Lily, why are you wasting my time with these tidbits of trivia?
Trivia? Edwin, the theater used to be our lives. When you took the job in radio, it was just something temporary until you could get a good role on the stage.
Lily, the theater is dead. Let's face it. Radio's the coming thing. It's young and alive.
Here's your breakfast, Henry Aldrich.
Really, Agnes? With meat prices the way they are, why don't you go out and have your tongue pickled?
Edwin, you'll be late for your broadcast. Now, eat your breakfast.
Yeah, eat your breakfast. I got a bet writing that says you can't get it down.
Agnes, leave him alone. Edwin, eat your breakfast.
Let Agnes eat it.
You should live so long.
Oh, this has been a great morning.
Where's my hat? Goodbye, Lily.
Edwin, won't you just phone Max and congratulate him?
Lily, I'm through with the theater. Finished. Oh, by the way, catch my Uncle Goodhart program. Today, I nurse a cocker spaniel back to health. Ah, then it opens its eyes and sees me. It's the best thing I've ever done. Goodbye.
I gotta catch that program when the cocker spaniel opens its eyes and sees him. Should be interesting to listen to a dog go mad from coast to coast.
Oh, Agnes, Agnes. Do you realize what's happening to my husband? He's lost his interest in the theater. He's not planning on ever going back to it.
That's the first good news the theater's had in years.
Nonsense. If he was offered a good part in a play that would stimulate his interest, he... Agnes, where's my coat?
Where are you going,
honey? To the Rodgers and Hammerstein office. I'm going to see Max Garland.
Miss Kovac, I can't audition any more people. If there's anybody out there, please tell... What? Who? Mrs. Montague, send her right in. Gad, I haven't seen Lily. Lily!
Hello, Max.
Look at her, beautiful as ever. Who would think that for the last 25 years you've been married to the thing?
Max, I just dropped by to congratulate you on your new job. How do you like it?
Like it? It's like a vacation.
A vacation?
After 15 years with your husband working in a salt mine, it'd be a vacation.
Now, Max, let's not start getting excited again.
You're right, Lily. It's past and gone. 15 years of producing plays starring your husband.
Yes, the years just went.
Yes, and my stomach went with them. Lily, my picture's been in the medical journal. I had a new disease, Montagueitis.
Oh, easy, Max.
Do you know what Montagueitis is, Lily? Beards before your eyes. You come home to kiss your wife, she's wearing a beard. Your baby has a beard. Your dog has a beard.
I couldn't take it anymore, Lily. I couldn't take it.
Oh, Max.
I'm sorry, Lily, but just talking about it brought back the old symptoms that... Why, Lily?
What, Max?
What a lovely beard.
Oh, stop it, Max. Let's talk about you. I read that you're cast in the touring company of South Pacific for Rodgers and Hammerstein.
It's a cinch. Every actor in town wants to play the French planter, the part Ezio Pinza plays.
Oh, you have to be careful who you get for that.
You're telling me.
And that's a part that calls for a great actor. He must be elderly, but yet have that mature appeal.
That's right.
He must know how to speak French.
I know.
He must have a reputation on the stage to be able to be an attraction.
Pretty tough.
Max, it just came to me.
What?
Max, there's only one man in the world who could play that part.
Who?
Edwin Montague.
Ah!
Max!
Lily, I'm on the road back to health. I can't take jokes like that.
Max, I'm serious. You're working for Rodgers and Hammerstein. Now, their success has been based on throwing away convention and being daring.
What do you mean?
Look at South Pacific. They took Ezio Pinza, an opera star, and put him in a musical comedy.
So?
So you can be just as daring by taking Edwin Montague, the greatest living Shakespearean actor, and putting him in South Pacific.
Edwin Montague in South Pacific? The whole idea's crazy.
Well, maybe it is. But think, Max. What if it works?
Yeah, what if it works? Oh, no, Lily!
Max, he has the voice, the bearing, the experience.
Lily!
It's a daring move in the tradition of Rodgers and Hammerstein, and you thought of it, Max.
I thought of it.
He has a name people remember. Think of the critics who love him, the box office.
Coming. Oh, it's you.
Hello, Agnes. Where's Lily?
She's out.
Where'd she go?
Who knows? Reno, if she's smart.
Agnes, why don't you surprise us for Mother's Day and quit? By the way, did you hear my Uncle Goodhart broadcast this afternoon?
Yeah. I gotta admit, was sensational.
Well, not bad, eh?
That last speech, when the Cocker Spaniel opened his eyes.
Now, you mean, life is back, little one. Once more to see the sun come up. The trees, the flowers, the open sky.
That's it.
Best speech I ever had to say.
Oh, did you say it? I thought it was the Cocker Spaniel.
Agnes, would you be interested in a proposition whereby your day off becomes permanent? Why my wife insists on having you in the house? That must be Lily.
I'll get it.
Hello, Agnes.
Hello, honey.
Oh, Edwin, you're back from the broadcast.
Don't get near him. He may have fleas.
Hello, Lily. Close the door.
Wait, wait. I have a surprise for you.
A surprise?
Yes. Come in, Max.
Hello, Edwin.
Oh, no. Hello, Max.
That sounds like Mr. Gimble meeting Mr. Macy.
Edwin. Well, let's sit down. We have so much to talk about.
Have we?
Oh, Edwin, we have good news for you.
You have?
Max has a wonderful idea.
You have?
Now, Edwin, you listen. Max is here to offer you one of the greatest starring roles on Broadway.
A starring role, Mary?
Yeah.
Edwin, this is something new. A character that just fits you.
He's an elderly man.
Elderly?
But with great charm, sex appeal, savoir-faire.
Really?
Continental type. Talks French.
Talks French? Bon appétit, messieurs, au ministre d'intègre, conseil vertueux, voilà le professeur.
Translation, your father's mustache.
What's the name of the play, Max?
South Pacific.
Never heard of it. Who wrote it?
Oh. Rodgers and Hammerstein.
Never heard of them.
Oh, Edwin, you've been away too long. It's the biggest hit on Broadway.
It's been running for 2 years.
What is it? Drama? Melodrama? Tragedy?
Well, Edwin...
Yeah?
It's a musical comedy. You know, singing and dancing.
Singing and dancing.
Excuse me, I have a pretzel in the oven.
Now, Edwin...
Max Garland, leave this house.
Edwin, listen.
He wasn't content to have brought my Shakespearean career to an untimely end. He now wants me to end my days as a chorus boy.
Edwin, you're being ridiculous. Now, Max...
I'm starting to see beards again.
Edwin, it's a play that won the Pulitzer Prize.
Lily, I don't care... The Pulitzer Prize?
Montague, it's a play with great depth and feeling.
The part you play made Pinsir the biggest star on Broadway.
God, if it made a star out of an opera singer, imagine what I could do with it when I give it the famous Montague touch.
Better known as the kiss of death.
Edwin, we have no time to lose. You must study the part so that when Max takes you to the director, nothing can go wrong.
Musical comedy with my voice and sex appeal. God, the years I wasted doing Shakespeare.
We'll be back with The Magnificent Montague in just a moment. The next time you suffer from pains of headache, neuritis, and neuralgia, take Anacin. You'll bless the day you heard of this incredibly fast way to relieve these pains. Now, the reason Anacin is so wonderfully fast-acting and effective is this. Anacin is like a doctor's prescription. That is, Anacin contains not just one, but a combination of medically proven active ingredients in easy-to-take tablet form. Thousands of people have received envelopes containing Anacin tablets from their own dentist or physician. And in this way, discover the incredibly fast relief Anacin brings from pains of headache, neuritis, and neuralgia. So the next time a headache strikes, take Anacin for this wonderfully fast relief. Anacin. A-N-A-C-I-N. Anacin comes in handy boxes of 12 and 30, economical family-size bottles of 50 and 100. Get Anacin at any drug counter. And now, back to The Magnificent Montague. Theatrical history is in the making. Montague, the bulwark of the Shakespearean theater, is preparing himself to take over the Ezio Pinza role of the French planter in South Pacific. He is rehearsing.
Dites-moi pourquoi la vie est belle. Dites-moi pourquoi la vie est gaie. Dites-moi pourquoi, chère mademoiselle. Est-ce que, parce que vous m'aimez.
Oh, Edwin, lovely. That was lovely, wasn't it, Agnes?
Harry Como ain't gonna lose any sleep.
Edwin, it sounds wonderful.
It does, doesn't it?
Why, at times you sound just like Pinza.
When Pinza has laryngitis.
Lily, call one of the elevator boys and have him walk Agnes.
Now, remember, Edwin, when Max takes you to meet Rodgers and Hammerstein's director, Mr. Brooks, please... Oh, that's Max.
I'll let him in. Hi, Max.
Hello, Agnes.
Hello, Max. Edwin already knows the part, even the songs.
He does, huh?
Would you like to hear me sing a few of the songs, Max?
No. I'll hear you at the audition later, sort of get it all in one lump.
Well, we better get going. Is everything arranged, Max?
Yeah, the director, Benton Brooks, is expecting us. He'll have a piano player there.
I'll get it. The residence of H.C.O. Montague, hello? Who? No kidding. When did you get into town? Sure, come right up. Oh, stop that. All right here. What? Can't you at least wait until you get up here? No, I won't run away.
What a disgusting exhibition. Who was that, Agnes?
Your father.
Oh!
Oh, no. What is he doing in town?
Old Cyril Montague? Is he still around? He must be pushing 200.
And a girl still isn't safe around him.
Let's slip out the back door.
Edwin, he's your father.
And the retired and undefeated monarch of the Shakespearean stage.
Let's get out of here. Lily, he just lives to make trouble for me.
Edwin, I'd just like to stay and say hello to old Cyril. It'll be fun.
Max, do you remember how much fun it was when he'd drop in the middle of our rehearsals telling me how to act, you how to produce, the director how to direct?
I remember. Where's the back door?
Well, there he is.
Oh, we're trapped.
I'll get the door. Hello, Mr. Montague.
Agnes, my passion flower. Come here, you lovely wench. Give me a kiss.
Let me go. Let me go. Oh, he pinched me.
Hello, Dad.
Yes, Lily, you get more ravishing every day. Kiss me, you little devil.
Watch him, honey. He pinches like a lobster.
Dad, you remember Max Garland?
Hello, Cyril.
Dad, Max, are you still alive? Yeah. Well, where's Edwin? Where's that boy of mine?
Hello, Garland. Hello, Father. It's awfully nice of you to drop here.
Hello, Father. It's awfully nice of you to drop here. Half my life I spent trying to teach him how to talk like an actor, and what comes out? Hello, Father. Awfully nice of you.
Please, Dad. Don't stop that again.
Oh, leave Edwin alone, Dad. This is a big day for him. He's going to audition for a part in a play.
A Montague has to audition? Isn't the name of Montague enough to get the part?
Oh, Dad.
For five generations, Montagues have refused to audition in order to get a part. Some never worked a day in their lives, but they never audition.
Lily, try and explain.
Dad, this is a very important role. It's completely different from any role he's ever played.
Different?
Yes. It's called South Pacific.
South Pacific? Egad, they've discovered a new play by Shakespeare.
Dad, South Pacific has nothing to do with Shakespeare.
A Montague in a play that has nothing to do with Shakespeare?
Dad, if you let me...
Hush! Mind your manners, son. Lily, if this South Pacific is not by Shakespeare, what is it?
Well, Dad, times have changed.
Come. What is it?
A musical comedy.
Oh? Agnes, get some water. Get some water.
Never mind. I'm all right. It's just that it's hard for a father to face the fact that his son is a no-talent bum.
Oh, please, Father.
A Montague in a musical comedy.
Father.
Let me go. From this day on, I shall wear a black band on my sleeve. My son is dead.
Mr. Montague, South Pacific.
Get away from me, Max. There's blood on your hands. You took my Edwin, a clean American boy, and led him astray.
But Mr. Montague, if you'll
only... Quiet! Throwing my boy, a Montague, on a stage to dance and sing with half-naked hussies.
Now, Dad, this is ridiculous. South Pacific is a beautiful and dramatic production.
Don't tell me about musical comedies. I've seen all of them. The Floridora Sextet, Madcap Mitzi, Sliding Billy Watson's Beef Trust Girls, Getting Gertie's Garter, those hussies in tights kicking and carrying on and... That is not for my boy.
Dad, if you'd only see for yourself.
Yes, Mr. Montague, here's a ticket for today's matinee of South Pacific. You'll see what we mean.
Yes, Dad, if you just...
Yes, Dad, if you just... Dad, what a stupid brat.
Now, look, Father, nobody asked for your advice in the first place. I'm old enough to make up my own mind, and I don't need any help from you.
Talking to your father like that.
Edwin, go to your room.
Now, wait a minute. They're waiting to hear him audition.
Let's go.
Oh, believe me, Dad, it's the right thing for Edwin. Now, you take that ticket and see South Pacific. We'll meet you here for dinner.
For 96 years, I've kept the name of Montague clean. And now my own son, in a musical comedy. He'll send me to an early grave.
Back, huh?
Yes, Agnes. Come in, gentlemen.
I told you, Max, it was a ridiculous idea. Montague in a musical comedy.
It was an idea. We'll find something for you, won't we, Brooke?
Oh, definitely. But for South Pacific, you must admit, Mr. Montague, the role calls for... Well,
I know. A much younger man.
Edwin, I hope you're not disappointed.
Well, a little, Lily. But it would have been ridiculous, those love scenes. It would have been unbelievable. A young girl singing to me, I gotta wash that man right out of my hair.
Awfully nice of you to invite me up for dinner to meet the great Cyril Montague. He was my boyhood idol.
Well, Dad should be back from seeing South Pacific.
Wait till you hear what he says about your South Pacific. He won't be your idol anymore.
Dad's of the old school.
And so am I, Lily. He's right. Montague means Shakespeare.
That's the old man.
Get ready for some snarling criticism.
Hello, Dad.
Some enchanted evening. You will meet a stranger.
Dad, how'd you like the show?
Bally High will call you. Bally High.
Father, don't tell me you liked South Pacific.
Liked it? It's the greatest show I've ever seen. And to think my son will star in it.
That's just it, Dad. I'm not in it.
You're not in it?
You were right. Musical comedy isn't for me.
Then what is for you? Heavens knows Shakespeare wasn't. I remember you. To be or not to be, that is the question of all. I still get nauseous when I think of it.
Will you please stop? It wasn't because of my acting. I'm just too old for the part.
Too old? An actor is never too old.
Well, this particular part calls...
No matter what it calls for, it can be altered.
Altered?
Egad, I played Huckleberry Finn at the age of 63. I made a few slight changes... I merely made Huckleberry Finn a fun-loving middle-aged boy.
Nonsense.
Nonsense, is it?
But, Mr. Montague, South Pacific can't be changed now.
Who is this man?
Dad, this is Mr. Benton Brooks, who's directing the auditions for South Pacific.
Mr. Montague, this is the proudest moment of my life. I never dreamed I'd ever meet my idol.
Mr. Brooks. You have a very good show there. But if you'll step into Edwin's den with me for a few moments, I think I could show you with a few little changes. If you'll excuse us, please.
Of course, Dad.
Gosh, who'd ever think I'd be talking to Cyril Montague?
This way. Now take that sensible character.
Oh, Edwin, your father just won't give up.
Trying to change South Pacific.
Oh.
Well, Lily, don't lie.
Oh, but Edwin, Brooks isn't going to change a play that's been a smash hit for years.
That's not it, Lily. You realize what's happening? My father, first time in his life, is doing something for me. He's fighting for me. Lily, a thought just struck me. It frightens me.
Well, what is it, Edwin?
Lily, I think my father likes me.
Oh. Of course he does.
Here they come. Max, get Rogers and Haberstein on the phone at once.
But what?
Don't ask questions. Get them on the phone. Mr. Montague, it's amazing that we never saw it that way.
Well, you were so close to the play.
What is it?
Just 2 minutes with your father and I found out what was wrong with South Pacific.
Something is wrong with South Pacific?
Wrong? It's glaring. The central character, the French planter, is wrong. He should be an old hermit.
That's me. The way the part is now, I'm not too old for it.
The way the part is now, you're too young.
Too young.
But the way you describe the character, there's only one man who could possibly play it.
Younger than springtime.
Oh, no, Father, you wouldn't take the part.
He isn't getting it. I just phoned. The part's already been cast.
Well, Father, aren't you ashamed of yourself?
Edwin, it's time you learned. You come from an acting family, and to an actor, a good part... is thicker than blood.
That's my pop.
Here's a word from RCA Victor.
It's good company anywhere. Yes, anywhere, anytime. There's fun at your fingertips with an RCA Victor portable radio. At home or away from home, on your bedside table or at the beach. It's great to own the pick of the portables at RCA Victor. You'll enjoy that extra range. You'll rave about the tone, thanks to RCA Victor's exclusive Golden Throat tone system. Yet your RCA Victor portable boasts a compactness and lightness you never dreamed possible. Most important of all, you get the strongest reception ever achieved on battery operation. Because RCA's radio batteries are tube-rated and radio-engineered for long, strong listening life. Yes, on every count, an RCA Victor portable radio is good company anywhere. Take your pick of the beautifully styled models at your RCA Victor dealers everywhere. Listen again next week, friends, to The Magnificent Montague, the Saturday night transcribed feature on NBC's All-Star Festival of Comedy, Music, Mystery, and Drama. Brought to you by Chesterfield, the cigarette that has for you what every smoker wants. Mildness plus no unpleasant aftertaste. By Anacin for fast relief from pain of headache, neuritis, or neuralgia. And by RCA Victor, world leader in radio, first in recorded music, first in television. The Magnificent Montague was written by Nat Hiken and Billy Friedberg. Ann Seymour was Lily. Herb Kelton was Agnes. Art Carney as Cyril. Also heard were Johnny Gibson and John Griggs. This is Don Pardo speaking. Listen tomorrow evening for The Big Show with Tallulah Bankhead as Mistress of Ceremonies, the Sunday night feature of the All-Star Festival.
Tomorrow, Margaret Truman visits The Big Show. Next, your hit parade on NBC.
You have been listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web. You can subscribe at no charge through Apple Podcasts, Podbean, or RSS. And we're now on YouTube. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you can join us again next week for another hour of entertainment from the golden age of radio. Until then, this is your host, Justine Ward, saying, so long for a while.